Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 365. I am Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Hey, how you been, Pin?
Good.
Blah, 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 blah.
And Mr. Phil Wilson.
Hi.
Hi.
It's been a long time, guys.
We've had
it's been a busy summer.
Sorry.
3 weeks since we've done our, it's been 3 weeks since my last podcast. My gosh.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah. That's my fault.
No, well, a little bit.
So, Tim, I have to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Did you, by any chance, or maybe you've already been, when you were in D.C., did you go to the museum?
Nope. Did not go there.
Boy, I really want to go see that. It was not open the last time I was there.
I've walked by it.
It's supposed to be good.
Yeah, it's supposed to be good.
Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to go to the Holocaust Museum, so we finally made it there.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a downbeat place, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll make you think.
Yep.
Yeah. Not good.
Well,
I mean, it's good, but it's not.
It's a great museum.
It's if you want an uplifting experience, don't go there.
No.
I still think everybody should go.
Oh, no, it's everybody I agree. Should go. I agree with you.
No matter.
I agree.
And go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying we saw a bunch of other historical things like Monticello and Mount Vernon, all of which were nice. We liked it.
Yeah.
Everyone should go and see them at least once.
Right.
Did you, how long were you there? You were there for a long time.
Couple weeks. Yeah.
Very nice.
Anyway.
Very nice.
Yep.
And you didn't go in August when I went because, you know, it's kind of warm there in August.
It was hot there, a couple of weeks ago when we were there. So, but it wasn't hot up on the North Shore last weekend. And we were very remote and there was no internet anywhere within about 45 minute drive. So,
yeah,
but it was very cold and nice. And we had a great time up there. It rained, which was kind of a bummer. But other than that, it was great.
And Steve and I just sat here.
Waiting for you to come back.
So we sat here crying.
That's right.
Wondering.
That's right.
Who would make the big news in Minnesota technology?
Well, we published an article about this back in June 7th, or Graham did, about the Minnesota Cup.
Right.
And in the semifinalists and all the different categories. And, you know, I still am amazed when I scroll through this list how many startups there are. And it's just fabulous. They had 616 entrants this year, which is just incredible. So it's going to be a good one. I'm going to get to that no matter what. And see some of the presentations.
Well, who else would you think would do the Minnesota Cup other than startups?
Well, Smart Aleck.
No, I'm just curious.
No, well, obviously anybody with an established business model that wants to, that has something that they want to expand. I mean, I just remember when I was at Apple calling on FranCorp down in Chicago, and they were a huge franchise organization. And they wouldn't even talk to you unless you had an up and running store or some sort of a franchisable business. But it had to be, in the black, and it had to be generating enough revenue that it could be replicated.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of founders a lot of VCs are looking at founders and saying, great concept, but let's see if it's viable. So, mm-hmm. Get out there and see if you can make some money and get to sign up some customers. So.
Well, also while you were gone, Tim, Amazon opened an office. So, or a presence here in Minneapolis. So.
Besides their distribution center.
Yes, right.
Well, yeah, and I heard they're trying to hire engineers from BuzzFeed's office here.
Really?
Oh, that's right.
Well, I think it's the first thing any company like ours thinks about is competition for talent. But at the same time, it's Amazon, so they don't exactly have the best reputation for employees.
Well, if they're gonna draw from retail, there's plenty of retail here.
Yep.
There's Target, Best Buy, and so forth. So. Yeah. Yeah, there's plenty of retail folks in town.
Yep. But I also, as part of the, I don't know if it was just at the same time or timing, but I wanted to let everybody know that Technovation got a nice grant from Amazon as well.
So, yeah, how much was that?
$10,000.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that's a nice, Yeah, a little feather in the cap for Technovation MN, always looking to raise more money.
And what are they going to do with it? What's their focus with it?
Well, I mean, it continues. Technovation continues to be working on the, you know, the Technovation Challenge and hosting that every year. But they also want to grow beyond that. And I think that one of the biggest issues is going to be hiring a full time executive director. I think that's one thing. They're ready to get into that zone. So.
Yep.
But congratulations to them, Sean, staff, Seth, and the group there. So, and then we were talking about this over the last week. I think we were just going back and forth on Slack, which is, you know, a great time to suck.
Right.
But the concept of the Twin Cities being ranked among the worst tech markets for gender pay parity, which I have a hard time believing. There's such a gap, but you know, the problem I saw with that particular, it was in the Business Journal. It was the comparable or comparably or whatever company did the survey. The problem with these surveys is they never tell you what the makeup of the survey is, you know, who did they, it's like jobs in tech. It's a pretty broad statement.
Right.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily say they balanced it geographically. So if, you know, they actually interviewed two people in Minnesota and, you know, they were both, you know, not getting parity, then that's a problem. You know, all of a sudden that skews the whole.
Well, the tech market here is different than it is in other cities across the country. Like you really can't compare it that directly with Austin or Chicago.
Mm-hmm. No.
Because there's a lot of med tech and other stuff that, yeah, may be more traditional, therefore maybe has a more of a gap.
Well, and in the last paragraph in Catherine Grayson's article, it said that this comparably's results don't mesh well with a study by financial planning website NerdWallet, like which found that earnings for women in Minneapolis were 94% of what men made, which is actually almost parity.
Yeah, exactly.
But they included.
So it's always hard to tell.
Yeah.
But that's I guess I have a more optimistic view of Minneapolis and the Twin Cities. But look, there's still plenty of work to be done in equal pay for equal work.
And here's the thing, you know, you always have to look at everything critically. So last night, I'm flipping around channels and there's one that said Stossel and it's on, I don't know what channel, even what channel it's on. And John Stossel, who's a Republican, you know, a real conservative, and he had an African-American woman on there. And her position and pitch was that you know, the American dream is achievable for everyone, you know, and race should not matter and shouldn't be a part of it. And people shouldn't let that hold them back. But the liberals have created this agenda of we're not going to be able to make it unless we have help and all of that. And then so Stossel stands up and he asks the audience, how many of you think that race is a gating factor to the American dream? And you know, like 8 hands go up. And how many of you think that race doesn't matter in the American dream? I want you to clap. And all these people are clapping and they're panning with the camera. Everyone's white.
Everybody's white, yeah.
It's like, of course you don't think race is an issue. You know? It's like, my God. It was so hilariously obvious that I just sat there and I said, you know, you've got to think of this stuff critically. Because, you know, finding out that kind of data is really hard.
It is very,
and I have to read somebody's methodology on their study to at least try to determine whether or not there's any bias.
What is the sample? What is the sample size? How was it weighted? You know, where was it weighted and that sort of thing? And I would imagine that in a site like Comparably, which relies completely on people being honest with their salaries,
right,
it's gonna be iffy at best. But enough about that. So. What else is happening, Steve?
Well, Internet of Things stuff, you know, that continues to move. ATEC companies, which showed at the IoT Fuse conference, has come out with a new monitoring system, which measures and transmits data, you know, from fuel tanks and farm field moisture and all of that. It's a thing called Asset Scan. And they're really positioning this as a platform. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, whatever you need to scan, you're able to do it, and it uses cellular connectivity and sensors and so on. What I'm waiting for, and I don't know because I didn't talk to her specifically about this, but I'm wondering.
Wait for it. Here it comes.
No, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for more impact with solar generation of power.
I thought it was going to be the holodeck reference.
No. For field use. No. But okay. But the holodeck does segue into my cool thing of the week, but I'm not going to reveal that yet. Yeah. Anyhow.
Anyway.
Well, and last but not least in Minnesota Stories is that one about the new app that helps travelers clear customs faster.
It replaces that little slip of paper that you have to, like, you know, say you're not bringing in, you know, produce and other stuff that's illegal.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I think it's like, whatever. I mean, that's not, I mean, that's
well, it's good nothing. That it's getting paperless, but you know.
Yeah. 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 Actually it's pre-check that is the best part, but unfortunately everybody in the world does pre-check now. So it's, the lines are long there too.
No, I was just in New York, just traveled to New York. I thought it was great. I breezed right in and pre-check. So.
Huh.
Wasn't too bad. Of course, I flew out of Humphreys. So.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Terminal 2.
There you go. There you go. Well, yeah. So the it's almost as though it's becoming difficult to track everything. And, you know, I follow, sometimes it gets a little daunting, but sometimes there's 1,500 to 2,000 articles a day that comes into Feedly, my feed reader.
All right.
And I just, you know, sometimes I feel like I have another job scanning the stuff, you know, and then there's all kinds of great articles that I want to read. So I'm saving those so I can read later, and then I never read them later, that kind of stuff. But there was a really good one in Fast Company, a publication that I think has some of the best quality stuff, you know, with co-create and design and all of that. Right. Can Target and Techstars turn Minnesota into the next Silicon Valley? And it was all about Target's retail-oriented program. And it's the best article that I've read yet on what it is, what the intent is, what they built out, where they're going with it, and why it matters that Target connected with Techstars. And I just thought it was a really good article. And I'm not going to go into it, but I would encourage everybody to read it because it's very interesting. And especially that Target is... They're going to try stuff. They're going to innovate. They're just going to do it. And they're going to figure out how to be relevant in a day when more and more of our purchases are done online. And man, with mobile. And so I thought it was a pretty uplifting, positive article for this juggernaut retailer we have in our backyard.
They're doing great stuff.
Yep.
It's just kind of interesting that what, probably less than 5 years ago, Target had was sort of woefully behind the curve in tech. Maybe it was a little longer ago than that, but yeah, now they've really ramped it up.
Yeah,
especially in their hiring and with their positioning their technology.
Well, I almost I read another Internet of Things article about Samsung investing. Yeah, investing $1.2 billion in the U.S. for the Internet of Things, and the first thing that I almost did, I didn't, I held back, was to send SmartThings founder Ben Edwards an email saying, hey, Ben, co-founder, does this mean that your budget's going to grow? And I would assume the answer is yes, but they're putting a lot of wood behind the bat. I mean, they see the opportunity that they're going to be able to sell a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're definitely investing in it, but it's still, I think it's a technology that's in search of an application that will, you know, make it go more mainstream.
Yeah, definitely. No, definitely.
I mean, I think something like the Ring doorknob, I think, or doorknob, doorbell. I think that's a great example of something that could potentially become a, you know, everyone has one. Yeah. Certainly the Nest thermostat is another one. So there are definitely products out there, none of them coming from Samsung at the moment, that do hint at mainstream success. But up to now, we really haven't seen anything.
Well, I agree. And I think also that, it's going to end up being AI that drives a lot of this, because it was funny because I watched last night, I watched Charlie Rose, and he had on Thomas Friedman, you know, local St. Louis Park boy that's now a New York Times journalist and written a ton of books. Yeah. And he has a new book coming out this fall about accelerating change and what it means and all of that. It looks really, really interesting. But at any rate, one of the things that they talked about on there was this whole accelerating change thing. And he did mention once again the Amazon Echo, and how it's the closest thing ever to, you know, just being able to speak to a computer and have it do what you want it to do. And yep. Today, on my walk this morning, I was listening to John Gruber's the talk show, and he had on Nilay Patel from The Verge and Vox Media.
The Verge, yeah.
And one of the things that they talked about was they mentioned this and Siri and so on, but Nilay said that he calls Uber over his Amazon Echo. Yeah. You know, he just says, hey, you know, or whatever. I never used one. So, but he'll call his Uber car and just speak to it, you know, and off he runs and runs down and gets into the car. So, I think that's what's going to eventually drive the sale of things is more of a seamless integration. That's just really invisible to us. That we just, all of our lamps work with IoT. They're all controllable. All of our heat and water temperature, maybe, and, you know, sensors are everywhere and tracking things and so forth. And it's just going to be in the fabric of everything. And I think that's what's really going to drive it. So.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, did we talk about the Pebble 2? A couple weeks ago or 3 weeks ago,
we did not.
I can't remember if we did. It was, or not. Yeah. was on Kickstarter. They finished, and of course, they raised many millions of dollars. But what's interesting about that is that they've meshed the smartwatch with this little bitty thing that it's like an oversized iPod Nano that you pin to your jersey that as you're running. And it runs off of 3G, so you can stream music if you want. And it has Amazon Echo in it, so you can actually talk through your Pebble Watch to this thing. And it gives you back information, like you could call your Uber, as an example, because this thing has a 3G cellular connection built into it. So things like that, you know, seem pretty handy to have. And that works without your phone, so you don't have to run with your phone.
Very nice.
Yeah. So there's an IoT story that maybe you didn't see.
I did not see that. No. And, you know, I get distracted by stuff. I mean, you know, this whole thing about what's going on with there's like a story a day coming out about Apple. You know, now they're in talks to acquire Jay-Z's Tidal Music service. Then the whole Spotify app thing that apparently Apple rejected.
I don't get that.
Well, it's because they're not using the subscription service.
Yeah, so
they're doing it as an in-app purchase. Yeah, I know, it's a competitive thing, but
no, they don't have it as an in-app purchase. They just you have to buy it on their website and then put your credentials in. It's the same problem that Amazon has. So you can buy Kindle books on your, you know, on your iPad, but you have to go into the browser to buy them.
Right.
Yeah. Which I do.
You know, I do that. The Spotify thing is just interesting. I mean, I think those two stories between the title discussion and Spotify, that, you know, the Apple Music stuff that's going down. I think that, you know, I pretty much side with Apple on the Spotify deal, simply because Spotify knows the rules. We all know the rules.
Yeah, exactly.
As, you know, submitting apps, and they're all subject to the same people, and it's like, you know, it's the same rules, and it's like, that's the way it goes, guys. That's if you don't want to play Apple's in Apple's playground, then I mean, just leave. But you know, that's not going to happen. But this, the Apple in talks to acquire Jay-Z's titled music, I think that is just the dumbest thing, or probably one of the most idiotic things I've heard. Here's a company that has Apple continues to be lousy with cash, all offshore money, but still lousy with cash. And they're sitting there talking in talks with buying a failing music service. It's like, You don't need to buy this service. This service will be gone soon enough. Why would you waste all this? I have an idea. Put that money towards, I don't know, something else that's a little bit more good for the country that's treated you so well, instead of keeping it offshore. That's the sort of stuff that just pisses me off about Apple. Is there, you know, this whole desire to buy Jay-Z's, you know, Tidal music service is all about, we want to own all of these art, you know, have exclusive rights to all these artists. And
well, there's that.
Other things they can be doing.
Well, you know? There's that, but there's also, I mean, you know, the classic roll up or acquisition model. So a roll up with private equity companies where they'll look at a space and decide that the space is the one they want to get into. And they'll find the half dozen companies that are emerging and are the best ones. And they do a roll up, they roll them together and mesh and merge the technologies and all that, and then come out with a new platform. And that's how United Health Group grew. I mean, they basically looked at the entire value chain of healthcare in the United States and said, what are the companies that we need to buy in each one of these areas to be the dominant player from a technology standpoint that we can use ourselves? And they did that and did it so successfully that what's now called Optum, was, I forget what it was called before, but they, when it hit $1 billion in revenue, they rolled it in and made the publishing group and this technology group company, one company, Optum. And it's, you know, so, I mean, it's a really great strategy. And I see that happening in the music space where that's what may be behind what Apple's trying to accomplish is to essentially buy customers.
Well, I think they're trying to become a music label.
Okay. That's another interesting spin.
Who?
Apple.
Apple?
Hmm. Apple. They're trying to take over being the dominant music label.
Huh. Well, I don't, see, to me, it makes more sense to be working more closely with Spotify than it does even conceivably worrying about Tidal Music. But I mean, it's like, okay, let's get into Napster. Like, let's pull a Best Buy and buy Napster. It's like, why? So yeah. Anyway, that's my thought on it. And you know how much you value
that. Right.
So let's talk about 3D printing, folks.
Well, we can, but nobody there's, else is. Well, yeah, it is declining, but there is a new, I just read an article about this yesterday and I did not put it in the show notes. But there is a new technology that Stratasys and MIT have dubbed 4D printing. Mm. And I'll put a link in the show notes to some stuff.
Because 3D was so successful.
Well, so essentially what it is that it's the ability for items to be able to be made that can then mold and morph into one 3D shape or another. So it can have intelligence in it to be able to mold itself to, specific surfaces and so on. So, I'll put some links in there that have some, cause there's some videos and stuff where you can watch it, being printed, but everybody's all excited about this now. And, so forget the holodeck, because the next thing, Phil, is the replicator.
4D printing. Yeah. Right. The replicator.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll look for it.
And then I just wanted to throw out something as a point of discussion. So right now we are on Google Hangouts. That's what we're recording this on. And Google uses something called WebRTC, real-time communication, which is a technology that Apple has not adopted. And so as a consequence, we can't use Hangouts in Safari, the browser, for instance. And, we can use Hangouts on our mobile devices, but then Apple has FaceTime. And which is great, but it only works on Apple devices.
Wasn't that supposed to be an open standard?
WebRTC? When they announced it? Oh, FaceTime?
No, FaceTime.
No, uh-uh. No, they,
oh,
they
I never... thought it was. I thought no. that when it came out, in fact, that was Steve Jobs was still around. Yeah. I thought he said, yeah, this will be a standard, and it really hasn't become one.
Interesting.
But anyway, WebRTC looks like it might be a widely adopted standard.
Well,
adopted by Apple, perhaps.
Well, yes, because it's going to be part of WebKit. So by the end of this year, it'll be rolled into it. So that's just something to watch because, you know, the ability to, you know, do real-time communications with people is just accelerating. Except yesterday, I mean, this is one of those limitations. One of my clients, and he's a friend of mine as well, we had a call at 8 o'clock, and he calls me on Skype, and we're going to do a screen share over Skype, and he's in a coffee shop. And I got to tell you, it was the worst experience I've ever had. First of all, the ambient noise in there was so bad that I could barely hear him, and he could barely hear me. The bandwidth through Wi-Fi was so horrible that I'm screen sharing, and he could either see the screen or we could talk. We couldn't do both. And I finally said, look, if we're going to screen share, let's use join.me and you call me on your phone. Because that's the only way we could do it. There just wasn't enough Wi-Fi bandwidth. And so, you know, there's all these limitations. So it's great if you've got, you know, a big pipe and you can do all this stuff over that. But otherwise, it's a real challenge. Anyway. I think, boys.
Yes.
It is time to segue into our cool thing of the week.
Wow. Okay.
Who gets to go first? I think we should make Tim.
Yes, I was going to say, let's start with Tim.
Yeah.
So I put this one in about 3 weeks ago, and I thought this might turn into something. If you'll recall, last summer I had another box that used this Remix OS, which is basically a desktop version of Android. And this Migo Pad is one of many Android PCs, basically. It's on Indiegogo. I thought that it looked like it had some potential, but it looks like not a lot of people agree with me. Because it has 11 days left and they haven't met their goal. Although on Indiegogo, you know, you will get your device. This is a real device. This isn't, you know, like Kickstarter, where if you don't get enough backers that it doesn't get made,
right?
But for $50 you get basically a PC that's running Android, and it has a desktop layer built in, which of course Android doesn't have, which makes it interesting. I'm fascinated by the low cost of computing these days.
Yeah. I tried to put Remix OS on a thumb drive, and after about 90 minutes, I went, this is not worth it. So I gave up. Interesting.
So anyway.
All right. That's your cool thing.
Mr. Phil? That's
my cool thing.
This is the...
So on the con, and that affects the...
And don't want to do drugs, this might be the thing for you. Sorry.
Yep, it's video.
It's a video. Sorry about that. My apologies for that.
Oh, when you
watch out, there's an autoplay video on the link.
Okay. I just want to see the picture. Okay.
Yeah. It's
on the browser.
The double tourbillon 30 degree Technique watch. The unique thing about this watch is that the entire case is cut from sapphire rather than just crystal. So it's a basic see-through watch. And it's only, what, $1.2 million. So
$1.28 million. Don't forget the
$1.28 million. Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
because you know, when you're spending that kind of money on a watch, you want to make sure that $0.8 is. So I thought that was pretty darn cool, unattainable, but still very cool.
You know, even if I was sitting with a billionaire,
yeah,
at lunch, let's say,
and you saw him wearing
it, and he said, yeah, you know, I just picked this up and it's almost 1.3 million. I would look at him and just like, what the F is wrong with you?
It's like, you know, like Skrillex or Skrillion or whatever his name was. The guy, what was his name from the guy that jacked up the AIDS drug 5,000%?
Right.
But the Wu-Tang album or whatever it was.
Right.
Wu-Tang Clan album. It's like, what a dick.
Well, maybe he was a big fan. Who knows?
Steve?
Well, okay. So mine is something I absolutely would have bought if it was 15 years ago. It's if you remember Captain Kirk doing his flip up communicator and he'd tweak it in and so on and talk with the ship. You can now buy the Star Trek, the original series Bluetooth communicator.
Do you suppose? Yeah, but he wasn't using. He couldn't have been using Bluetooth. But
no, he wasn't. It was probably some quantum subspace communication method. But it's a fully functional Star Trek communicator. It pairs with Bluetooth enabled phones. Mm-hmm. And they designed it with 3D scans taken of what they call a hero prop, which is the, you know, the original reference design for it. And there, you got to watch the video because it shows it in action and what it does. And, you know, the little circle with hypnotic,
right.
View that starts to move when you're communicating, right. And so on and so forth. And I just thought, God, what a hoot.
I think you should get this anyway, Steve.
$150 bucks.
It's only $150 bucks.
Come on. I'm sure Michelle would understand.
Yeah.
Right? If you want to go a little bit lower on the price scale for $60, you can get a tricorder.
Yeah, but what am I going to do with a tricorder? I'm not going to carry a tricorder around. This I would carry around.
Well, next time you're at one of those Star Trek conventions, you can meet, Shatner and company.
You know, Shatner's going to be here in August for something I was reading, and I've just never been to one. And I mean, I've always enjoyed the show, but you know, I'm not a super fan of really anything.
Right. You know, I got a question for you. There were, as I recall, there were a couple of designs of communicators in the Star Trek episode. I mean, it was a short-lived series, but they started out with, these were very clunky. I think this is like the first version of the communicator. Then I think they got a little slimmer at some point, didn't they? Or was this the same one they used the whole series?
I think, well, the original series, I think this is the one.
Yeah, that's the one. And the Next Generation, they had it all built into their...
but I still... I'm not sure. I'm not going to run out and watch every episode. But I think they sort of slimmed down over the course.
Well, maybe by the third season they did. You could be correct.
So, because this was always struck me as odd, this little tuning knob you had on it too. So I think this is cool.
I think it is too. It just is. But you know, it'd be one of those things where geek. Where if you had one, you know, it'd be fun and you'd probably goof with it for 3 or 4 months and that'd be the end of it.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. Because you're not going to be, you know, whipping out your communicator.
Right. Right. Because everybody looking, oh, you're kind of a loser.
Yeah. You know? You're going back to your hotel room with your inflatable date. Is that planet?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, you need a bath.
We got an upcoming. The mini demo 23 has been announced. I believe they did their first round of tickets. Did they not?
For the sponsors. So I got my ticket already. And July 14th at the Pantages Theater. So yeah, that'll be a good one.
Let's see. Also coming up, I should point out, I didn't put it on the list, but I will put it on the list. July 12th is Mobile Twin Cities.
We'll
have a couple of different presentations. One from, Casey Helbing at Software for Good, and talk about the TC Pride app that they built there and some other Software for Good that they're doing. And then our BuzzFeed Steve Peterson is going to talk about Android Instant Apps, which should be good. So check that out. A little blatant plug. So
Well, and then there's an event, Brand Formation. Ciceron is putting this on. It's an MBA series event, Courageous Leadership in a Hyper-Connected World. And it just looked interesting, and you might have an interest in doing it. They've got a senior brand manager from 3M and a senior director of Cartwheel that was made by Target, of course. I don't get this one. He's a program director for 89.3, The Current, except that, of course, is their millennial strategy. So maybe that makes sense. And then Andrew Eklund.
A very smart guy, by the way.
I don't know him. Never met him. Okay.
Very smart guy.
And then Andrew Eklund, who's the founder and CEO. I enjoy Andrew like crazy. He's a great guy. Mm-hmm. And we're one of the sponsors.
Who, Minivate is?
Yeah. Well, yeah, go to the Eventbrite link and scroll down. And
very nice. There you go. Very nice. Steve's always working the back room. God love you.
Yes. Well,
what can I say? It's all about the deals.
We call him Boiler Room Borsch.
Yeah. Boiler Room Borsch. You know, my cigars haven't come in yet, so I can't hold any more backroom meetings. Anyhow, then Startup Week, September 19th through the 25th.
Yeah, that's already coming up.
Jeez, yeah. Please. Oh man,
I know. Can you imagine?
Great googly movies.
Summer's gonna be gone.
Stop.
I know. It's hardly started, and it's all we're half over now.
I know.
You know?
Because I become an empty nester at the end of the summer, so I don't really want to think about
it. Oh, no.
Well, and I was going to go on my week-long photography adventure again, this time down in New Mexico. But
yes,
unfortunately, that sinus infection that I had, a month and a half ago, gave me anosmia, which I have no taste and no smell. And now I'm on all kinds of, I'm on 3-week sulfa antibiotic and stuff and all kinds, prednisone, all this stuff to get my sinus infection down and get it to go away.
I had no idea.
Isn't that bizarre? I mean, I feel great.
I've always suspected you had no taste, but, good night, everybody.
He's here all week.
And I never noticed smell. So that's good.
There you go.
Anyhow.
Well, good.
Well, that's about it. We'll see what happens next week. And of course, we'll talk about it on
the Men of 8 Gang podcast.
Have a good week.
Take care.
You make it hard. I want to stop and stare. Behind those eyes, what else you got in there? 'Cause you make me feel like I should learn to stop time. I will give you this life that I'm in if you show me the other side. 'Cause the girl's what I want. I stand outside in the rain. 'Cause the girl's what I want. Because you're so hot that you could turn the sun blind. On the mysteries of love and fear, she's got me working through the night. 'Cause the girl's what I want.